Hi, this is Jay Evans from the USDA ARS Bee Research Laboratory in Beltsville, Maryland. Today I'd like to read an essay for Bee Culture titled, Found in Translation, DNA Fingerprinting. Long before your personal fingerprints became a tool to open computers, they were used to help solve crimes and other mysteries. Unique to all but identical twins, fingerprints can be irrefutable evidence of past touches. In fact, many of us bought cheap detective kits with a then-mysterious white powder and tried to solve household crimes with this new tool. And there's a hint, your sister wasn't really using your toothbrush. Currently, stopovers by living beings are marked most accurately by traces of the nucleic acid sequences that make up their genomes. The past decade has shown that DNA and RNA are, for lack of a better word, leaky. So much so that if one wants to screen a meadow for an extremely rare bee species, the current method of choice is to collect some of the flowers in that meadow, isolate bee DNA, and use extremely sensitive genetic screens to divvy up the genomes of all past bee visitors. This is not science fiction. Arndt Schmidt and colleagues used DNA signals to survey bee diversity across flower plots. In a paper called Flower-Derived Environmental DNA Reveals Community Diversity, Species Abundances, and Ecological Interactions in Bee Pollinators. It's in a journal called Environmental DNA. Yes, that is a real journal. Their most accurate strategy involved cutting flower heads from 10 to 12 plants, species per field, putting those flowers into bags based on species, filled with sterile water, shaking a bit, and then purifying DNA from that water rinse. These scientists identified a remarkable 54 bee species across three plots that were sampled four times each. That's a bee diversity score equal to teams of field bee experts with nets and good ID skills. This technique is clearly up to the task of knowing which bees were doing the work of pollination, and for sure honeybees made their list. For honeybee health, it's most important to identify not the bee herself, but microbes and other associates, good or bad, carried by that bee. The screening of environmental DNA, or eDNA, is more than up for this task. A key question is, which hive material is best for screening? Choices range from bee bodies to hive stores and from dirty bottom boards to surrounding flowers. While leaky DNA signals have been found in all, there are new insights into the best substrate to study. Jessica Henneken and colleagues in Australia pushed the limits of bottom board debris to characterize bacteria, fungi, and arthropods, which would be insects and mites, that had sometime in the past oozed or crawled across the bottoms of beehives. This is a paper from 2025, just a month or so, in late 2025, called Molecular Surveillance of Honeybee Hives Using eDNA Metabarcoding During Pollination Season, also in the journal Environmental DNA. In the study, thousands of hive visitors were identified, including wax moths and hive beetles, while a dozen potential threats, including tropolelapse mites, were correctly shown to be absent in the sampled DNA. And this study builds on earlier bottom board forensic work by Lee Boardman and colleagues at the University of Florida. And this is a paper titled, Novel eDNA Approaches to Monitor Western Honeybee, Apis mellifera, Microbial and Arthropod Communities, again in the journal Environmental DNA in the past year or so. Both studies relied on massive libraries of DNA sequences for microbes and other hive inhabitants housed at the U.S. National Institutes of Health. As those libraries of sequences improve rapidly, the ability to scout out almost every life form on Earth will itself improve. Many of us are focused on life forms that do not carry DNA at all, namely the important RNA viruses that devastate honeybee colonies, like deformed wing virus and paralytic viruses. RNA is generally less stable than DNA, so our go-to method has been to collect live bees and then deep freeze them until they are processed. Still, we know viruses can be infective from hive tools and hive stores, and their RNA can't be all that fragile. Indeed, Delka Salgova and colleagues used an RNA capture technique to discover B viruses. In a paper called Molecular Detection and Phylogenetic Relationships of Honeybee-Associated Viruses in Bee Products, this time in the journal Veterinary Science. They used pollen, bee bread, and royal jelly as sources to detect viruses, with slightly more success using the royal jelly component. They obtained valid RNA sequences for the range of bee viruses, but were not able to get accurate data for virus levels in colonies. If the intent is both to identify viruses and determine when these viruses are causing colony harm, what's the best way to do that without sampling bees themselves? Fortunately, Aaron Hill and colleagues carried out controlled experiments to test just that question. This is a paper called, and it gives away the punchline, Surface swabs outperform most traditional honeybee hive samples for recovery of eDNA and eRNA. And that's another new journal. This is a 2025 paper in Metabarcoding and Metagenomics. It's actually freely available online if you're not a subscriber. They found that swabs at the hive entrance adequately capture viruses of bees, along with viruses infecting other organisms, large and small. And this was for sure the easiest collection for beekeepers and others. I'm not yet convinced this technique is ready to become the standard for quantifying bee viruses. Aside from the whims of bee behavior, that is, presumably incontinent bees will leave a stronger viral sign. The swabs at hive entrances were rich in plant viruses and other incidentals. Consequently, known insect and mite viruses made up maybe 1/12 of the virus pool, dwarfed by viruses carried by plants and fungi. Nevertheless, even samples of pooled bees show numerous plant virus hitchhikers, and the authors make a good case that the extra effort to dig deeper when sequencing these samples, that is, the swab samples, in order to get a bead on bee viruses, it is worth it given how easy it is to collect those swab samples. Studies like this one and the Boardman University of Florida group show the steps needed to improve detective work and are well on their way toward a major change in beehive sampling. Even today, such hive swabs are likely precise enough to detect arrivals of new mites like Tropolelaps, as noted by the authors. Future bee detective work seems like it will converge on the talcum powder study, dusting studies of our youth, giving exciting insights from merely swabbing the hive surface and putting those swabs into better and better machines and databases. This is good news for detecting the biological threats faced by our wonderful bees. It has also opened wholly new insights into the range of organisms, intended or ephemeral, and from viruses to beekeepers, that pass through the doors of bee boxes. Thanks for listening. Good luck with your bees this spring.